Entrepreneurship, leadership, and free market capitalism. You are listening to Kyle Keegan.
Welcome back to the Kyle Keegan Radio Show, where we are bringing producer-centered radio to your favorite podcasting apps. What is this show about? We're here to bring out the very best in entrepreneurs. We make way more than a living. We build things that are bigger than just us and our efforts. We embrace entrepreneurs and the value that they bring to the world. We believe that entrepreneurship is a high calling and an honorable pursuit. Our own efforts are finite, but our businesses can be infinite. The world's resources are available to good leaders, and it is our job to be those good leaders. And having created great wealth means that we create a great value. They chose us over alternatives, and it made their lives better. Our value creation improves lives. If you want to interact with the show, your options are Telegram and the Fastlane Forum. It's not a Hustle Bro podcast where I'm going to ask you to follow me all over the internet and follow me on this social media and that social media. I'm not doing that. Your options are Telegram and thefastlaneforum.com. Interact with the show there. They're great venues for it, and I'm not investing in anything else. I have my own businesses to run. If you're getting great value out of this show, the only thing I ask of you is that you bring your 5-star reviews and also share the show with your friends. I'm not charging you money for this. I'm not selling courses. I'm not selling books. I'm not even writing a book. Maybe one day, but not now. And there's literally nothing I am asking for in exchange for this information I load out there into the world. So the only thing I really ask of you is that you help grow the show. Tell people you like it if you like it. Share it with your friends. If you are a regular listener, say, this is why I'm a regular listener, and give us your 5-star reviews, especially if you're an Apple subscriber. The Apple podcast app is the best place to leave those reviews. And even if you're not a listener on Apple, I think you can go to the show website on the Apple podcast platform and still leave a review. Anyway, thank you for listening and being who you are. You guys are great entrepreneurs setting out there with your honorable pursuit to build things that are bigger than you and improve people's lives, like we just said. So I appreciate you not just for listening to the show, but for being the kind of person that I just described. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 323. This will be the fourth part of our leadership series. It may be our last, and I think I am going to wrap it up today. And it's going to be wrapped up with a little bit more of an inspirational type of direction. Instead of what we were going through, you know, leadership is difficult. There are some things that you have to go through in order to become a leader and build a great company. And we've focused on that over the last couple of episodes. The last episode was 322, and we talked about how leaders shoulder a lot. We went into a reaping and sowing season. Right? So you sow hard into your business, right? There's a period where you don't get to benefit from the work that you're performing. And we have to keep our head in the game and we have to build. And despite the fact that the world may look down on that and say, oh, you're not getting rewarded for all the work that you pour into this. When is this going to work? Da, 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 da. Well, the fact of the matter is that is what creates this idea of the overnight success story, the head in the work, the pouring over all of the difficult stuff with no reward in the beginning in order to later seek a much larger award than you would have had otherwise. You know, if you're trading your time one-to-one for money, the best you can hope for is the reward that was defined in your employment agreement. But if you are going after something larger, if you want to build something bigger than you, it's going to take time and it's going to take that blood, sweat, and tears, and you're going to have to shoulder that season of sowing before you actually get to the harvest. The harvest is much, much bigger when you are the person who owns the farm instead of the person who was employed to work that day when the harvest came. Your reward can really be calculated like this. Were you there for the sacrifice? Were you there when the seeds were planted? Were you there when the seeds had to be watered and taken care of when there wasn't a bunch of rain? Were you there when you had to prepare the ground in order to put those seeds in the ground? Were you there for that stuff, or did you just show up for the harvest? And that's the difference between an entrepreneur and an employee, right? An employee is showing up for the harvest. The harvest is already happening. Things are already good. So the amount of pay that you might get for guaranteed this little tiny bit of level of good, well, it's obviously less because there's a guarantee to it. And when you're an entrepreneur, you have to shoulder the possibility of unmet expectations or even failure. That is something you are compensated for, and the work that you do in mitigating the likelihood of those disasters happening, right? That's the best way to explain it. That farm analogy is fantastic. We also, going a little bit further back, we talked about how leaders have to inspire others. It's not just about paying people enough money to get them to show up and work. It's about having them inspired to be there and perform for you in a higher level. Remember, a leader isn't really leading unless the people around them are stretching. Okay. And this is something I actually haven't said in the other shows, and I wish I would have said it because it's important. Are you really leading if no one's really following you there? Okay. A person who becomes employed by your company doing what they are super comfortable doing the entire time, their whole life, not exiting their comfort zone. Are you really leading that person, or are you just employing them? Is there a difference? And I want to say yes. So a leader would inspire that person to perform at a higher level. It would inspire that person to go above and beyond and believe in the project that they're a part of. A good leader will call greatness out of somebody. Somebody who is complacent and has lived life on a relative cruise control or something like that. There's no cruise control to speak of at a leader's company. We're not on cruise control. We're calling out the greatness in others. Because not only is that better for you and your company, but it's also better for your employees and the people that you're leading. To have a fulfilled and exciting existence rather than a soulless job. I heard the term a NEET, N-E-E-T, the other day, and it's talking about like a not employed or currently being educated or something person, someone who's basically decided not to try in life and they just quit, you know, essentially quit life. And at first I'm like, what a loser, you know, these types of people who think that way. And then on another side, I thought to myself, man, what created that? A massive lack of leadership in our world. And to me, that says there's a massive also opportunity for the people who are willing to take on the burden of the leader and to lead an organization forward in an inspiring way that can provide more than just a paycheck to somebody. So a leader will provide a challenge for somebody who is maybe used to not having a challenge. If they go to work every day and are completely unchallenged with what they're doing, they're not being led. They're just existing. Because remember, we take flying leaps as entrepreneurs out of our comfort zones. And the employee types generally, you know, they like to put a toe out, you know, but getting them to put that toe out is leadership. You're stretching them beyond where they're at. You're leading them somewhere where they weren't already. So it was definitely something that I think needed to be said. So we went over leaders shoulder a lot. We went over leaders inspire. And we talked about the pure power of the leader, right? Why leadership is so incredibly powerful. And today, I really want to focus on harnessing that power for something huge. Okay, I think that's the exciting end to our leadership series. And I've got a couple of different quotes to share with you today and to elaborate on and talk about. But the fact of the matter is, you don't go through this and understand the power of leadership only to say, okay, I'm going to start this little thing. I'm going to lead like two people. Okay, the idea of building yourself up as a leader is that I am willing to accept anything that comes here. I want to build this to be as big as it can humanly possibly be. not just this artificial limitations I might have put on it as the entrepreneur. And a lot of entrepreneurs will do that. So the first thing I have for you is a great quote. It was posted on the Fastlane forum. That's why it was brought to my attention. I am going to go read this book now. It was by Brad Stone, the author of Amazon Unbound, Jeff Bezos, and the Invention of a Global Empire. So this quote says, "We all know that if you swing for the fences, you're going to strike out a lot, but you're also going to hit some home runs. The difference between baseball and business, however, is that baseball has a truncated outcome distribution. When you swing, no matter how well you connect with the ball, the most runs that you can get is 4. That would be bases loaded. In business, every once in a while, when you step up to the plate, you can score 1,000 runs. This long-tailed distribution of returns is why it is important to be bold. Big winners pay for so many experiments." And, you know, I don't know about the big winners pay for so many experiments, but I really like the message here, okay? You are limited to how much that swinging for the fences really gets you. And a lot of people will say, well, yeah, I'm swinging for the fences. Well, that analogy is kind of funny because the most you can get is 4. Most you can get is 4 runs. But in business, you can get so incredibly much more. Now, when you are a leader and you understand that the world's resources are available to you, so it's your job, like I always say in the beginning of every show, is to magnetize yourself to those things, right? Make yourself the leader worthy of those things, not just attract them. This isn't the power of whatever, the secret or whatever that Oprah crap is, where you just believe for it and it comes. No, it absolutely isn't. It's legitimately being the person qualified to attract that type of resource level, right? It is being the person you need to be. And if you're not currently that person, it's working on everything you can in order to be that person. So it's defining what it is that that type of money and resources and ability and inspiration flocks to, defining what it is and becoming that. So the biggest threat to the best that you can possibly do isn't some horrible thing that might, you know, jump out at you and surprise you and ruin your day, or ruin your week, or ruin your year, or ruin your entire business. The biggest threat to the best that you can possibly do is the second best, right? Something that is good, but it doesn't add up to what it could be, right? And I know that a lot of us, if we take a look, are we settling for second best or third best or fourth best? Is there something that we are comfortable and complacent in that we aren't taking to the next level because of that? And there's been some very recent talk on the Fastlane forum about sort of the bandwagon businesses that people have gotten into over the last 10 years. I've been on the forum and I've watched people come and go, and I've been relatively consistent with my contribution over there for the last 10 years, but I've seen pockets of supposed opportunity as time goes on, where basically it's like musical chairs. Oh, hey, this one's great for now. Let's just stop here and work on this for a while. This is the gold rush of the day, and people will hang out there and figure out a way to help each other out within that gold rush. And the people who ultimately survive are the ones who sell the shovels, you know, just like the old gold rush of a long time ago. And we're talking, of course, about things like Amazon FBA, right? It was once upon a time very easy to make money. You were somebody who was providing something new to a marketplace that was devoid of whatever you were providing, and you were going to make great money, myself included. I was challenged by David Happy to go and start an FBA business. And I was in the electrical industry at the time, and I said, well, you know, what am I going to do? And maybe I sell LED light bulbs, because that was back then, you know, the new thing for efficiency for homes, and people were kind of desiring that kind of stuff. And somehow I landed on cigar boxes instead of the light bulbs in my dramatic search through China for products. And I sold cigar boxes for a while. These are humidors, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. Not just the boxes that cigars come in, but boxes that you would store your expensive cigars in. And I had them custom made and all of this kind of stuff. And I did very well with that for a while. But what happened as time went on? Well, there was a very low barrier to entry. And in my opinion, based on what I was just saying just now, it was something of a second best, right? The biggest threat to my first best, the biggest threat to the big thing that I want to build in life is second best. This was a nice little business. It was paying the bills. I was a single guy and I got to play, right? I got to go around and, you know, play golf. I got to travel a little bit. I had a cool car. Life was good, right? Based on this little business. But you want to know what that was? That was second best. And a lot of people will flock to that. And I recognized it as an anti-leader trait in myself, right? You get a little bit comfortable and it's you not being a leader anymore. You're in your comfort zone. You're saying, let's make this work. I know I'm capable of more, but hey, this is a pretty decent gig. You got to erase that as soon as humanly possible. Later on comes things like crypto and investing. Yeah, okay, so we had a horrible dive in the stock markets in the very infancy of the coronavirus lockdowns and all of that kind of stuff. And the stock market got roiled. And that was the beginning of people tossing money in the Wall Street bets. They're going to make money hand over fist, super leveraged on massive call contracts and stuff that are way out of the money and hoping that their $100 investment turns into $1 million. And this was an ongoing thing for a while, not necessarily on the Fastlane forum, but it's definitely very popular, the retail investor side of things, putting hope in something outside of you. And that was also for a lot of those people what I would have considered second best. It took their focus off of what they were actually capable of and instead directed their focus on something that relied a lot on hope. Hope that this could go up. Hope that this will pan out the way that I think it will or hope it will. And of course, I'll be a genius if it does pan out that way because I saw the future. But nobody really, of course, knows the future. The other thing that is just like that, I would say, is the crypto markets, right? There are so many adamant people that were like, they'd almost laugh at you. It was so much smug hubris around the crypto markets that if you dared question that this was going to go to a million or 2 million or 10 million, you were just a Luddite living in the past. 50 years, you know, okay, old man, you don't know what you're talking about. You'll get left behind as we all get rich. And that is just not the way value creation and making money in a capitalist way works. Of course, there were a lot of people who did well with that, but they also got lucky, right? That is luck. Getting out at the right time before it all falls. And it has. Crypto's down like 65% or something in the last 12 months or this year, YTD. I don't know. I don't follow it because I've never put my hope in something that I couldn't affect, right? It was outside of my ability to affect it. So there's a lot of these bandwagons. I would say the FBA side of things was a little bit better because it did lie in a place that you could affect as an entrepreneur. But there were a lot of people entering the same thing, and they were all seeing the success of others. And because of their seeing that success, they entered that market, which is not a leadership way to enter a market, which reminds me now of a wonderful book called Zero to One by Peter Thiel. And that book basically goes into you creating the future, you creating something that wasn't already there, you paving the new path. And the more of it that you have to pave, the more of it that you own. What do I mean by that? Well, if the bunch of work has already been done and the market verified, there's already some people there taking advantage of the market. You don't own that market. But if you're the one that challenges status quo and brings something new to the market, you are only competing with the status quo. You're only competing with business as usual. And then you do own that market until someone else, of course, sees you there. But at least you got that head start. That's how the future is built. And that is leading in a large way. That's leading in a macro way, not just an internal in your organization kind of way, but in a market and capitalistic type of way, being the one that paves that path. Okay, that path was through a dense forest instead of, you know, a little bit of an easy way to go this way. A good example is how people used to travel long distances before there were cars or anything like that. They'd have the horses and buggies and they'd go 50 miles in one direction in order to avoid a mountain or something like that. And they'd go 50 miles in another direction to hopefully avoid a bad river crossing or something like that. But then the status quo gets challenged. You've got the railroads showing up and they just blast through the land. There's no big deal. Yeah, it may follow some of the geography, but also other geography, they'll tunnel through a mountain, right? They'll build a bridge right over the water. No big deal. And they can cross it so unbelievably easily after they've put that deeper investment in. Well, that's paving a new path. The status quo was the stupid wandering that everybody did, and the building the future was, no, we're going to dominate this land. And as you know, as time goes on, that becomes more and more of the thing, right? Instead of the wandering, we've left the wandering in the past. Instead of it, now we have railroads everywhere. We have interstate highways and bridges and things that serve people who walk, ride bikes, drive cars, drive trucks, anything, right? But it all started with that first step. And that first step was always performed, of course, by a leader, somebody who had a courage to challenge that status quo. So my point of saying all of this is the bandwagon style businesses that I was just talking about, they are the people who say, well, everybody else is wandering the land. They're going 50 miles this way and 60 miles that way and crossing the river over here. That is the what I am observing, and that is the way people are doing things now. So let's go do it that way, said nobody who broke ground on something massive and amazing, okay, is a follower mentality like that. So there's bandwagon businesses. They are the second best, if not worse, for us. Right? Let's not look to the bandwagon. Let's not look to what everybody else is doing, because leaders don't. Leaders look to what they can do and believe they are capable of to change things and make things dramatically different and shape the world in the way that they think it might need to go. So there is a very interesting quote from that 0-1 book that I have here pulled up on my browser. And it's ironic because everyone would view Peter Thiel as Mr. Techie Silicon Valley guy, right? They would think of him as the guy who, you know, wants to be behind some AI. And I know that he actually is super into crypto as well. I just tend to really like what he has to say on things. And it's ironic that this would be a quote, because many people who might take a tech guy like that and say, they don't think people are the future. They don't think leadership matters. It's all about computers and it's all about tech. Well, tech comes from somewhere, right? We develop it. It says the most valuable businesses of the coming decades will be built by entrepreneurs who seek to empower people rather than to make them obsolete. Wow. I mean, that is incredibly perpendicular to the mindset that I see in entrepreneurs so often right now, is how can I completely eliminate the entrepreneur or the employee to the best of my ability? Employees are hard. Oh my gosh, right? That's not the mindset to have. The mindset to have is to harness the power that you can get by surrounding yourself with people who have skills that differ from yours, right? You are harnessing something much, much larger than you. He also said this is the third most popular, I guess these are the most highlighted quotes from the book, which is kind of interesting. I'm going to start looking these up more. Monopoly is the condition of every successful business. I thought that was interesting because, hey, what happened when someone decided to not wander through the woods to get from point A to point B across America, right? Well, that was a railroad. One railroad, right? It was a monopoly for a while. That's why it was so successful. It says, all failed companies are the same. They failed to escape competition. Competition was the people all deciding to do the same thing. The bandwagon stuff. Okay. I want to move on a little bit because there's also a limiting belief that people will put on themselves as well that I think this one will challenge many, right? Because I am in a very unpopular minority here, and I understand, though, the mindset of the people, and you'll just see. Okay, there was a thread discussing whether or not you wanted, quote, wanted to be anonymous or a celebrity, okay? And, of course, a guy like me, I'm actually a rather introverted person. Yes, I sit in front of a microphone and I create business radio for you guys, but it's in my office and I'm by myself currently. Notice I don't have that many guests because I just really like the monologue stuff. Anyway, I would historically have said, well, if I got my choice, I would absolutely say, well, I'd like to remain relatively anonymous. You know, I want to be able to build great things, but I'd like to remain anonymous. But the problem I have with that is I don't want to hamstring myself. I don't want to hold myself back by saying I need to remain anonymous. Okay? That would be like, I'm going to be an author, but I don't want my book to get too popular because then they'll know who I am. That doesn't make any sense. Here I am sitting in front of a microphone, and it's just one of the things that I do. I believe there is an inevitability to when you build great businesses, eventually people know your name, okay? And the fact of the matter is, as a business person, you're not a celebrity. I'm not talking Kardashian stuff here, okay, where you're somebody who is constantly in the public eye and there's paparazzi following you around. I would hate that. That would be the worst thing ever. But think of a person like Carl Icahn right now. He is a very famous billionaire investor. I think he probably lives in New York City, but I would be guessing. Now, imagine if Carl Icahn walked into a restaurant that you were eating at. Would you be able to recognize Carl Icahn, right? Very famous. They talk about him at least weekly on CNBC. Would you be able to recognize him if he walked into a restaurant that you were eating at? And I'm going to say absolutely not. There's no way in heck that you or likely anyone else in that restaurant would recognize him unless he made it a point to let everybody know, which he probably wouldn't. Think about it this way. You had Grant Cardone on The Undercover Billionaire. Okay, Grant Cardone has intentionally made himself into a pseudo-celebrity business guy. Okay, you can't go on any social media and be a business person and not see stuff from Grant Cardone. He's done a great job of building a whole bunch of influence, right? But somehow he was able to go to Pueblo, Colorado, call himself Curtis Lewis, and literally get followed around by cameras for 90 days, and nobody recognized him for who he was. That is an extremely public person. So my point to you isn't like, hey, it's a good idea to be a celebrity. That's what you're taking from this, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, if you want to be anonymous, you still will be able to. Do not let it stop you from leading a company to where you believe you can take one, okay? Because you don't have to live on the edge of fame like he does every single day. He somehow was able to disappear while he was on this experiment, and they even followed him with cameras. And they still didn't know. I think there are a lot of people who will be fast to say, I don't want my business to grow that big because I don't want to be famous. Okay? You're not going to be famous unless you seek that fame. And even he sought that fame and wasn't famous enough to have a blown cover. So take that for what you will. the anonymous versus celebrity thing. I think that is something that is a waste of time, really. It's a waste of time dwelling on avoiding fame. And that's why an introvert like me wrapped his head around a radio show and somehow said, yep, I think that I actually have something to share. I think that it will be well received. I think I will thank myself for it later. And I think that it will push me in a healthy way out of my comfort zone. So that's where we're at today. And if this thing goes crazy, sure, I'll be well known, but I will also be probably less well known than Grant Cardone with millions upon millions of views of every single video and anything he ever posts on the internet. So if I'm using that as a standard and he can just go and blend in if he so desires, so can I. So I'm not that dang worried about it. Anyway, leaders don't let things stop them like that. They learn to become comfortable with more. They leave their comfort zones. They find a way to work it into their lives, and they do not stifle their companies with this artificial wants and desires of me. It's not about what I want. It's not about my stuff. It's about what the market wants. I want to serve the market in the best way that I can. I want to serve my employees with the best opportunities I can. I want to serve up my investors the best investment opportunities that I possibly can. Now, giving you these examples, the bandwagon and the anonymous versus celebrity stuff, and the second best is a threat to the first best. All of this has a purpose, okay? Because it's not necessarily those things that are attacking your ability to potentially go out there and lead a big organization. You just might have something else. And the idea and the exercise I wanted to really put on you here is to see that stuff for what it is. Excuses. Or just this comfort zone rationalization method that you're using. Everybody has their own. Seriously. I have this thing about class A real estate, ladies and gentlemen. I always say, you know, when I have enough employees to do some more, I'm going to get a flexible climate controlled warehouse. And we're going to, you know, put up some offices in one section. And then we're going to have flexibility to do a whole bunch of other stuff over here, which for my business kind of fits, but I so far haven't needed a warehouse, right? I've used contract warehouses. I've used warehousing companies and transloaders is what it's called in my industry. I haven't needed that stuff this far. And if I need more of it, well, I can certainly buy more of it. And there's stuff already there, right? So if I exceed the capacity of my current transloader, I can get other ones. So I'm putting my stupidity, my limiting beliefs off on my business. Why can't I have class A real estate? I don't know why I don't let myself have that as a goal, right? So that's one thing where I want to work on it, right? Why not have the fancy, awesome glass building with sculptures outside that I make fun of on a daily basis? I'm thinking specifically of the Anadarko buildings in the Woodlands, Texas. You can probably look them up. They've got sculptures of elk outside. And I'm like, well, what an homage to their superiority as a business before they had financial problems and got bought out. You know, I make fun of them, but they make that crap for somebody, right? There are builders that build amazing buildings and they build them because somebody demands them. Why not be a company that is in demand of such a thing, right? Why not? I don't see an issue there. Anyway, we all have our mental blocks that keep us from that reach. Don't settle for second best. Don't build something up in your mind like, I don't want employees because they're a hassle, or I don't want to build a great big business because it's harder work, which it isn't, right? Resources take care of a lot of the work that you don't have to take care of. Or, oh, I don't want to build a big business because I want to remain anonymous. Or maybe you just don't want to build a big business. You don't want to exit your comfort zone. And that's fine, but I get the impression that if you're 35 minutes into one of my radio shows, you want more out of life than what you've given yourself this far. And I'm here to tell you, it can be you. They make them for somebody. Make yourself the person that's qualified. You don't qualify or disqualify yourself. Stop disqualifying yourself. The world qualifies you. So define what it is that takes that qualification. You may be wrong. So you better do some research and figure out what qualifies somebody to do whatever it is that you're thinking about doing. And then be that person. And don't stop until you do become that person. Understand that the only difference between somebody who just kind of rots away and does a whole lot of nothing, or somebody who becomes a great leader, somebody who you could easily define right now and tell me, I really respect so-and-so as a leader, was a decision to take that into their own hands and figure out a way to become qualified by the marketplace for whatever it is that they do. They took it upon themselves. It was a decision that they made. They didn't just stumble into it. There was intentionality to where they ended up. They intentionally became what they needed to become to do that work, to be that type of person. So my challenge to you is be intentional. Don't settle and stretch yourself, even if it's outside of your comfort zone and you might be a little bit more well-known than you are today. Sorry, it comes with the territory. Thanks for listening to our leadership series. Go back and listen to them all over again. If you think that leadership is something that you want to pursue, share them with your friends. If you think there are other people that want to also chase this leadership-driven enterprise business model. I so appreciate you guys, particularly those of you who made it all the way here to the end of the show. Thank you so much. Thank you for supporting the show, as always, and being a part of our movement up the charts. Help us move up those charts, ladies and gentlemen. Connect with the show on Telegram. Join the progress thread on thefastlaneforum.com. God bless you guys. Entrepreneurs like you absolutely build the future, and that's what we're talking about, stretching ourselves and making these things happen. Have a fantastic rest of your day, and stay tuned for our next episode. Until next time, stretch yourself and don't settle.